أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه من سلم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Last time we stopped on verse number 20 regarding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Yusuf al-Islam and brought him all the way from Madian to Misr, and he comes to Egypt now. And what happens to him once he comes to Egypt, that is the further of the story today, inshallah. Verse number 21, Allah SWT tells us, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِإِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِنِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ ولما بلغ شده آتيناه حكما وعلما وكذلك نجزي المحسنين. In these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly depicting the blessing on Yusuf al-Islam. Now the story takes a turn. After all the dark ages, after all the dark times that he went through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now saying, look how when somebody is steadfast, sabr, patient in times of difficulty and adversity, and Allah does not test anyone more than capability. This is our aqidah, our iman. If we see somebody in extreme trouble, we know one thing, that is the bottom line, that trouble is bearable for them. That is why they're taking. Because the wa'da, or the pact of Allah, is in Surah Baqarah. Last ayah of Surah Baqarah, what does Allah say? La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa usaha. لا يكلف الله. Allah does not bestow or give responsibility upon anyone. لا يكلف الله نفسا, any nafs. إلا أصعها. أصع meaning their capability, their ability, their capacity. And when we say that صدق الله العظيم, Allah is the truthful, we accept that this ayah is truthful. So we cannot complain or moan that, oh Allah, this is more than I can bear. No. I know when people get very, very disturbed and perturbed in problem and difficulty, sometimes from their mouth, unintentionally it comes up, Allah, this is too much for me. This is more than I can bear. But no, Allah is saying in the Quran, it is not more than you bear. Because see, we ourselves, we think that we know ourselves, our nafs better. But we are wrong. Because Allah created me, you, every nafs. Allah created every Bani Adam. Allah created every nafs. And Allah knows what is the capacity of each nafs. So this is the message Allah is giving here in the time of Yusuf al-Islam, that look, whatever we put on Yusuf al-Islam, even though he was a young child and all the difficulties he went through, it was not more than what he can bear. He could bear that. That was his capacity. So then the question comes up is, what is the maximum of anybody's capacity? The ulama use this ayah to show us that when Allah begins to blow the winds of change. Let's say that the halat, the circumstance, are not changing yet. But when you see, wo roshni ki pehli kiran, wo hawa ka pehla jhonka, jo hai, wahi hai, that is the maximum that you could bear. Because when Allah SWT begins the first rays of hope, when the first winds of change begin to blow in your personal problem, difficulty, as you see, that tells you that now Allah has, wo kehte hain, ye abbas kar de. Allah ne bas kar diya. When Allah SWT begins to blow, the change may not have yet taken effect, but the first rays of hope, the first winds of change that's coming, that is a sign from Allah, alama from Allah, that Allah has done enough and now He's about to change because you have successful. Now the thing is, people say whether we are successful or fail in our exam with Allah. No, even those who fail in the exam with Allah, Allah still, unke din phir bhi phir deta hai. Chahe insaan jo hai, wo kamyab ho ya nakam ho apne azmaish mein, Allah Ta'ala ka ye waada hai ki woh insano ke din phir bhi phir dete, phir jate. Woh to qiyamah ke roz pata chalega na ki ji successful hue ke fail. Duniya mein Allah nahi bata deta wahin pe ki aadmi kahega acha ji ye nakam ho gaya. Kyun? Kyunki usko dekho din nahi phir rahe. This is the fact and promise of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He will change the times of people, whether they are successful or failure in that azmaish, in that exam that they were put in by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Only on the Day of Judgment we will begin to find out, oh, that difficulty that Allah gave me, I pass in that. Oh, that problem that Allah gave me, I fail in that one. I pass in this one, I fail in that one, I pass in this one, I fail. This is only going to be found out, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Amma in dunya, what Allah is telling us, now the winds of change begin. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ Remember last time we finished off that he was sold. From captivity he was freed. But yet, he's not really free. He cannot run around, go do whatever he wants. He's now freed from the mujrimeen, from the bad people, and now he's coming to good people. But still he is in captivity. Because somebody bought him. When somebody bought, he's still in slavery. He's still under the order of somebody. And that's what Allah is saying, that when the person bought him, he said, وَقَالِ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ And the one who bought him, مِن مِصْرَ لِإِمْرَاتِهِ He said to his wife, أَكْرِمِي Be good, be kind, be generous to this young boy, young lad. Why? أَكْرِمِي مَثْبَهُ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا Mufassirin say that two of the benefits are mentioned here by Allah SWT. Why the husband told his wife, you know, be good to this young boy? There are two reasons. He says, perhaps, asa, perhaps or hopefully we might take him, perhaps or might, he might, we might take him as our son, adopted son, or he might even benefit us. Meaning he must have some good in it. That is why he's being sold. And that's why I bought him. In other words, he's saying that there is good in him, in his qualities, that he can benefit from that. And if that is not there, then at least the second option is we can use him just as a adopted son, and he can help us in the house and adopted son. But كَذَلَكَ مَكَنَّا لِيُوسُفْ Now the next word that Allah says is a beautiful thing. Allah says that through this sale and purchase and buying and through this generosity of that wife, of that man who bought him, Allah is establishing Yusuf al-Islam in a home, in a house. You know, like in this world today, you have foster home, adoptive parents, things like that. They take care. Because Yusuf al-Islam is in a new country, new place, totally stranger. Doesn't know what's going to happen. Doesn't know what will happen, things like that. So Allah is giving him a pre-prepared, it's like having a prepared meal, just eat it. Pre-prepared meal, and a meal is put in front of you. It's hot, fresh meal. I mean, ask the homeless people how they feel happy when you give them a meal on the road, fresh, hot meal, in a cold winter weather. That exhilaration they have, the happiness, is beyond words. That's the same thing Allah SWT is saying, that even though Yusuf al-Islam was separated, he was separated from his father, he went through all this journey, comes to Misr, he is bought again by someone else, and now he's in a strange household, but Allah is using all these means, and even this strange household, to pamper Yusuf al-Islam. In other words, there are things sometimes that we see is not good, but it is for our benefit. If we look from Yusuf al-Islam's perspective, it's not good to be bought in a stranger household and then go to that household and then the man and woman deal with you and you don't know what's going to happen. No, it's very bad from that perspective. But from the perspective of Allah SWT, it is good for him because right now he needs a house. He needs establishment. He needs stability until he can get on his foot and then something good can happen. Also, the second meaning of this is that Allah SWT is telling us, whatever comes your way, accept it. Accept it, and if you have patience in that acceptance, in that realm, Allah will put barakah into it. But if you keep rejecting and throwing things away, thinking from your limited mind, oh, this is not good for me, turn it away. If you turn down every good that comes your way, then Allah SWT also gets unhappy from the slave. That look, he doesn't know or she doesn't know if there's good in it or not. I am sending it their way because for some good. But they are doing ma shukri, not accepting it. That is what Allah is saying. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لَيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ And Allah said, this is how we made sure that Yusuf al-Islam gets established on earth. He had enough turmoil, he had enough instability with his brothers and the time of traveling and all that. Now it's time for مَكَّنَّا مَكَّن means kisi cheez ko zameen mein gaad dena, usko achhi tarah se sabit kar de. Ab Yusuf al-Islam ke kadam jamana shuru ho. How? Ki ek ghar mein wahan pe rahish paate hain, khana mil raha hai, ghar ki aisaishein hain. Aur ye bhi koi mamooli ghar nahi. It's not a normal easy house. It's a house, it's a palace of the wazir, of the king. The king's wazir, minister, or whatever, the right-hand man, whatever you want to call it, secretary, the king's next person, he is the one who buys Yusuf al-Islam. So not any ordinary person, or not like the rich of the society bought. No, someone who is second in command of the kingdom, he bought him, he comes home, tells his wife, be good. Now look what he's saying. He bought him, he's the buyer, he's really his master. He could have said, you know, use him, treat him badly, do whatever you want to do, We use our Golan, he's our slave. So what the Mufassirin said in this tafsir, look at Allah's mother's nizam. Allah's nizam is hands off of this person, because he's gone through enough trouble. So hands off this person, he already put in the mind and the heart of the person who bought him to be good to Yusuf. Akrimi, asa an yunfa'na aw nattakhidha walad. He did not tell his wife, be cruel, be bad to him, use him as much as you want, abuse him, because we bought him, we have paid, I paid money, so let me use my money wisely. No. He's saying, take care of him, be kind to him, be generous to him, because he will benefit us. So who put this in the heart of that person? Allah's mother. That is why we say that the hearts of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are between the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wants, he can change the heart of any person at any moment. So he changed the heart of this minister, the wazir, that he should be and his wife should be good towards him. However, we see what happens. Allah says, وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Not only did Allah make intizam, preparations for the establishment of Yusuf al-Islam, but also Allah is saying, now we begin to bestow upon Yusuf al-Islam a very big mu'jiza, miracle. And that is the interpretation of dreams. Why is it important to know this here? Because the surah Yusuf started off with a dream. At that moment, this young boy, he did not know nothing. Katni patai kya khabe? Kisbi sitare aur chand suraj jain sijda kar rahe. Mujhe kuch nahi pata. But now Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, wo khab dikhane ka maqsad ek tha, wo maqsad ab pura. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. We are now about to teach Yusuf alayhi salam, our slave, our prophet, the science of interpretation of dreams. So before Allah gives him the ta'aleem, the education of interpretation of dream, he starts off his life by showing him a dream at an early stage where he knows nothing about the dream. Now that he's learning the skills, the caliber, the traits of how to interpret dreams, he begins to see what was the purpose of dream. Important point here, brothers and sisters, is a lot of times we see dreams in our lives. It may not have a direct injunction at that moment in your life. But 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, even 50 years down, even in your, burhapa, senior citizen time, it might have an impact on it. But you may have seen vaksabha taledik. That's why we should never discard any dream. We should never say, oh, is dream ke toh hai, is khab ke naise koi taluk nahi, bhool jao, bhool bago jao. No. Every dream, the good one that we see, of course. The bad dream, of course, has no reason. It's just a test from Allah. We already talked about that, so we don't need to repeat. But the good dreams, every good dream that we see, never put it in storage, in garbage. Always keep it in your subconscious back of the mind. And sometime you will see somewhere down the road, it has its impact on it. There is a delay, but there's never darkness. It will come. And that is what Allah's mother is saying, that now that he is in the captivity of the house of this wazir, now I, as Allah, will begin to teach. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Why? Because this will be his bread and butter. This will be his rosy rizq. Because in that time, like every prophet's time, there was something prevalent in society, something that was very common. So every prophet was given a miracle that suited his people at that time. For example, in the time of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, the sickness and disease was very common. Cure, remedy was very unusual thing, ajuba. So he was given the miracle of curing people just by touching them and blowing on them and things like that. He cured the blind, he clothed the leper with like this. This was miracle given to him that suited his people at the time. Musa alayhi salam, he was given the miracle, not of magic and sorcery, but magic and sorcery was prevailing, predominant at his time. So Allah gave him a miracle that would shatter the magicians and sorcerers at that time. Our Prophet Muhammad SAW, at his time, intellect, intelligence, geniusness, language, and the ability of having professionalism and expertise in language and oratory was very high class in the Arabs. So he was given one of the biggest miracles, Quran. It shattered every biggest philosopher and genius person on earth at that time. Until this day, no one can take the challenge of Quran. Until their judgment, people will come, biggest learned scholar will come, and he cannot or she cannot take the challenge of Quran. This is the mu'jiz of Quran. Intellect, intelligence. So now in Yusuf alayhi salam's time, people were seeing dreams a lot. And everybody will give their own interpretation. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, this is going to happen. Sometimes you can misguide a whole family, a whole person, just by giving wrong interpretation of dream. So it's very dangerous, very lethal. So Allah SWT is now, after saving Yusuf al-Islam from all these troubles and bringing him into this house and establishing him, Allah is teaching him a skill, a trait, hunar. Ek hunar sikha rahe hai. Isi hunar se inki jo hai, char chaand lagenge aur inki jo hai, badai hote jayenge, mashhoor hote jayenge. And that will become one day, this ilm of dreams will one day become his sabab of najat. His sabab of freedom. Complete freedom. Right now, yes, he's free. Right now he's free from those who captured him. Right now he's free from his brothers who planned and plotted against him. But he's not totally free because he's under the captivity of this wazir. So Allah SWT is saying here that لِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَعْوِيلِ الْحَدِيثِ we as Allah will step by step, one by one, teach him everything about dreams. Then Allah says the next thing which is very important. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبُونَ عَلَى أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Every person who is in parishani, every person who is in problem, in difficulty, they forget one thing. But they forget one thing, and that is that Allah is powerful and overpowering over everything. No matter what the world does, the other one does. No matter what the world does, no matter what the whole dunya does towards a person, the plan of Allah is supreme and the plan of Allah is manifest. And the plan of Allah will definitely come to pass. That is what Allah is saying. And ghalib is an Urdu word also. What is Allah saying? Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. Amr of Allah will be ghalib. No matter what the dictator, what the oppressor, what the tyrant does, no matter what the bad people in the dunya try to harm you or hurt you, Allah's amr is always ghalib. But what do we need to get the amr of Allah? Sabr. Yusuf al-Islam was sabr. One of the biggest message of Yusuf al-Islam story in the Quran is patience. Patience in every aspect. Patience with brothers, meaning blood the brothers, relatives. Patience with other people, you know, in the time of that captivity and all that. Patience with parents, father. He's separate. Bichargi babsi. He's not crying and then becoming hysterical. I've lost my father. That's the end of my life. No. A lot of times people leave us. A lot of times people die. They leave us. A lot of times people get lost, believers, and missing. So patience in every aspect, and patience in terms of fitna also, and patience in terms of with enemy also. When the enemy is attacking and the enemy is destroying, patience in that. Meaning, patience of Yusuf al-Islam is taught to us by Allah in this surah, multi-dimensional, in every dimension aspect. So over here Allah then tells us, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَى أَمْرِهِ. But then Allah says a reason. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ بیشتر لوگ اس چیز کو سمجھتے ہی نہیں ہیں کہ اللہ کا امر غالب ہونے ہونا ہے چاہے بے شک دیر ہے اندھیر نہیں. Majority of people do not realize one thing, do not comprehend one thing, that the amr of Allah سَيَعْتِ غَالِب. It will come. The only thing is, there may be some delay, there may be some time. But we should not become na'umid. We should not despair. You should not be feeling rejected and despair from the hope and mercy of Allah SWT. Yes, Allah's Nusrah comes. But sometimes it is delayed purposely to test our patience and commitment. And to see, will this person resort to shaitan and whispers of shaitan, or this person remains steadfast. And that is what Allah is saying. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْءٍ. They don't know. They have no understanding. Meaning, in the difficulty, in the time of musibah, mashakil, in the time of masail, the people, they forget Allah. This is what Allah is saying. People easily forget Allah in the time of mashakil, masail. Why? Because the halat, the conditions, ahwal, is so overwhelming, so overpowering that your brain is preoccupied all the time with the conditions. And the brain seldom goes towards the thinking that Allah. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ سَيَأْتِي. أَمْرُ اللَّهِ will definitely come and be established, manifest. But they will take time. Because that is the part of the deal. And then Allah says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ. And now Yusuf Islam is being nurtured and groomed in the house of this wazir, this minister of the king. Yusuf Islam is eating good food, wearing good clothes, having money, being taken care of. He's adopted by his parents.
See how Lot went and pampered Yusuf al-Islam? He took him to a house that is rich. What if this person who bought it was poor? He would not even have food to eat himself. What food will he give to Yusuf al-Islam?
And this is where Rasulullah said once that he has tashbih. If you look at the seerah of Rasulullah al-Islam and seerah of Yusuf, Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, there is a lot of tashbih baynahum.
What? Tashbih al-awwal,
his brothers ridiculed him. His brothers tried to get rid of him. Look at the family of Muhammad s.a.w. His own uncles became against him. His own uncles began to fight him and want to get rid of him and kill him. And his own family, his Banu Hashim, turned against him. Although, before he announced his prophecy, they were all friends and buddies. The moment he said, Ana Nabi Allah, Ana Rasulullah, khalas, they became angry and upset. So there's tashbih number one. Tashbih number two, as we see over here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of Yusuf al-Islam in a very unique way. In the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of Sayyidina Muhammad al-Islam in a very unique way. We know the whole seerah, how when he was born and he was taking the suckling by Halima Sa'diya, okay, the Umm al-Rada'a, the one. How we know the whole story of Halima Sa'diya, that she's coming to get a baby from the Mecca. She doesn't get anyone except that her Naseeb is the son of Banu Hashim, Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salam. When she's coming all the way from Yathrib to Mecca, her donkey is so weak and frail. She has no food. She's very, very poor. She has no ghina, no richness. She doesn't even have anything to offer. Even the milk that she would give, she doesn't know will come. And then she gets Muhammad alayhi salam in her Naseeb. Now the donkey is walking so frivolously, and the milk from the camel is so much, and the ghina in the house begins to come. Barakat! You know, that's why the scholars say that it is true that some people, their shakhsiyah is barak. You might have heard that from storekeepers, shop owners. You know, when you enter in a shop, they say the owner of the shop or the seller will say, "Mashallah, mashallah, barakah, barakah in my shop." He said, "Well, what do you mean? What do you say?" Because he will say, "Oh, every time you come to my shop, two or three more customers come. Zaban, come more." Yes, it is true. Allah has attached a phenomena that certain shakhsiyat, certain personalities on earth, there is barakah from Allah with them. So wherever he or she will walk and travel, barakah goes with. As was the barakah with Rasulullah, as was the barakah with Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam. And so Allah tells us that apart from the barakah with him, when he is becoming stronger and growing and maturing, Allah gives him two things. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ شَيْئَيْنَ. Number one, الشيء الأول, حكمة. آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Hukm in the sense of hikmah. How? Wisdom. Wisdom of what? Not just wisdom of prophecy, wisdom of maturity. At a very young age, he began to make decisions that the kingdom would take benefits, fruits of. Hikm in the sense that at a young age, he is telling elders how to maneuver and mobilize and make decisions. And that's why we see that sometimes when youngsters give us an advice, our attitude today is that, oh, if a young boy, if this brother gives me an advice, 99% of the time the people say, oh, why should I listen to his advice? He's a kid, he's a young boy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling us that many times youngsters, when they give an advice, it has long-lasting, far-reaching effects. We should not shrug it off. We should not just reject it. And that is what we see over here. That yes, every advice we get, we don't look at it how old or how young the person is, we take the advice. How many times we have gone through that experience where someone younger than me or younger than us gave us advice, we didn't take care of it, and later on we suffer, something happened, and we say, oh, I wish I would have listened to my younger brother or younger sister's advice. I wish I would have listened to my son or daughter's advice. How many times us as fathers, we feel that we should have listened to our daughter, we should have listened to our son. This is a part of the learning experience that Allah is teaching us. That yes, don't take every advice that youngster gives, but don't also reject every advice that youngster gives. Take it, and then you have the leverage to implement it or not. Once in a while, do implement. And this was the sunnah of Rasulullah. When he would travel in the markets, he would travel in the places, he would deal with the youngsters in a very rahmah way. And many times he would listen.
to what the young Sahabas would say. Because Sahabi, as young as 10-year-old, was a Sahabi at his time. So he would listen to them all the time. Advice should never be rejected, regardless of the age of the person who's giving the advice. وَعِلْمَ The second thing Allah is saying here, that as Yusuf al-Islam is growing and nurturing and maturing, we give him ilm, knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge, these both two things go to'aman, twins, they go hand in hand. But not necessarily. A lot of times people have a lot of knowledge, mafish hikmah, no wisdom. How many times we've seen PhD people, people have two PhDs, double PhDs. But when they act in a very immature manner, and you begin to think, wow, what knowledge did he acquire? That PhD doesn't mean anything. That piece of paper, diploma, PhD, means nothing if there is no hikmah, no maturity, no wisdom in the person. So Allah is saying, it's not necessary that if you have a piece of diploma in your hand, that means you are having wisdom. No. But can, in fact, it is bil'aks. A lot of times people may not be very knowledgeable, very PhD, master, but they have a lot of hikmah, wisdom. Because wisdom is from Allah. Wisdom is from Allah. So يُعْتِي لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah SWT gives wisdom to whoever He wants. And He's showing here that Yusuf, شَابٍ صَغِيرٍ He's so young, from his age, from his time, but he has so much wisdom from Allah SWT. Not that just he because he's a prophet, but even because Allah, He's showing us that don't mistreat young people. You never know who has wisdom. So then Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Very beautiful ending of the verse. Allah is saying, and this is how we give jaza, reward, return, recompense to who? Muhsineen. And who is a muhsin? In the ta'rif of this ayah, they say one. Muhsin is one who has the maximum level of his capacity of sabr. Not just doing, the literal translation of muhsin is a good doer, someone who does ihsan. Muhsin is a good doer. Muhsin is someone who wishes good for you. Muhsin who gives you good advice. Muhsin who takes care after you. Muhsin who is generous to you. But the real Muhsin is the one who has ultimate sabr. Who not only has sabr for himself, herself, but also gives you sabr in your time of despair and need. When you are in difficulty, how many good people come and sit down with you and give you sabr? Heart to heart sabr. Soul to soul kind of feeling of sabr. And Muhsini. And the other interpretation and meaning of this is that one of the ways to avert difficulty and masaib and mashakil is to be a muhsin. And who is a muhsin? One who always gives sadaqah fi sabilillah. And this is a nizam of Allah SWT, a formula. Whenever you are in any parishani, whenever you are in any difficulty, whenever you are in any mushkila, any musiba, any fitna that you or your family is in, the first thing that should come is sadaqah. Sadaqah fi sabilillah. There are so many numerous ahadith of Rasulullah that Allah fi auni abdi ma kana al-abd fi auni akhi. Allah is in the help and need of that person so long as that person who needs the help is in the help of others. Now you might say, I'm already in parishani, I'm already in difficulty. How can I help someone? Yes, you can help someone. Not necessarily just with money, even a good word, even a smile, even making the day of someone by smiling is a ihsan. All Allah needs from you is the gesture, the willingness. Is this person a muhsin? Or like for females, muhsina? Is she a muhsina? Is he a muhsin? If the answer is yes, that is all Allah wants. And there are so many darajat of muhsin. Doesn't just mean you have to give thousands of dollars to show ihsan. Even a penny a day is ihsan to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, that is what Allah is saying. وَكَذَلَكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ If you are muhsin, no matter what kind of storm comes, storm here I mean in terms of difficulty, parishan, no matter what kind of storm comes your way, so long as you are muhsin, before the storm and during the storm and after the storm, Allah will always make the best for you. Little examples we see in our lives today. Many times we've seen mechanics telling the person, how come you are driving this car? The axle was about to break up. If you were one day late, 1 hour late, you would have a catastrophic accident. Who saved them? Allah. Why? The person must have been a muhsin. Whoever is muhsin for someone else, Allah will never want to harm them, hurt them. But yes, Allah will send masaa, mushkil to them. Yes, the car is now bad. It has to be fixed. That is a musibah. You have to spend some dollars. But guess what? The amount of dollar they spend to fix the car is less compared to what an average person would do. Why? Nizam of Allah. So So that is the main message Allah is giving here in this section of the ayah, that Yusuf al-Islam was a muhsin when he was born and with his brothers. He was a muhsin in the time when he was in the well. He was muhsin in the time when he was being traveled to Misr. He is muhsin even now, and he will remain to be muhsin till his death. So the message Allah is giving us, just like Yusuf al-Islam was muhsin, Sayyidina Rasulullah was a muhsin. Remember, this is what Khadija Ritana, she said to Rasulullah, the moment he was shivering with the kabkabi, nervousness and scared that what has happened, when he got the wahi from the ghar, he came home. What was the words Khadija Ritana? لَنْ يَدَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ. Allah will never waste you, never ever. Because the lam and noon, lam in Arabic means abadan, never. Because lam and noon, lam means there is a hope maybe in the future. Here it's لَنْ يَدَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. Allah will never waste you, Ya Rasulullah. And then she gave reasoning. Why? You help the poor. You give people advices. You take care of people. You're generous to people. You're kareem to people. You're muhsin to people. And remember, to be a muhsin, you don't need any shahada. You don't need any witness. It doesn't have to be written here, this is muhsin, muhsina. You don't have to have a certificate. Who is your certificate that you are a muhsin?
Allah.
Society. You ask any person in the community, brother, sister, what do you say about that person or that family? Always flowers comes out of the mouth. That is a shahada, witness, that family, that husband and wife are muhsineen. Now one person say that. Of course, nobody's an angel. Maybe you might bump into someone and they might say something bad about them. But if 90% of the people are saying good about a family, about a person, that is shahada, witness, person is muhsin, is a good doer who wishes good for everyone. Then we move forward and we see the next phase of the story of Yusuf al-Islam, another message in Ibrah we had, in the terms of one, now he's living in the palace. Now he's living in the house of Wazir. The troubles that Yusuf al-Islam went through before were of different nature, different kind. But just because he is now in a good time, in prosperity, doesn't mean the troubles are over. Still more trouble, more imtihan, of a different nature, different kind. You know, the masa'ib that he went through, we don't even get 1% of that today. But if we at least get 1% of the sabr of Yusuf al-Islam today in our lives today in 2006, it is enough to make us through to Jannah. Look at the next stage of fitna and masa'ib that Yusuf al-Islam goes through. Allah is very quick in the transformation of the story. There the story ended that Allah took care of Yusuf al-Islam in the palace, the husband and wife taking care of them. Allah blesses them with the knowledge of interpretation of dream, gives them hikmah, wisdom, gives them knowledge, and Allah is always supporting the good doers. Now the story moves fast forward. And next picture is given to us. Next phase. What? وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِيَ النَّفْسِيَ وَغَلَّقَتَ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. Verse number 23 has fast forwarded the story of Yusuf al-Islam to a different stage. What? Allah SWT is saying that the wife of the person who bought Yusuf al-Islam, Imra'atu Aziz, the wife of the minister, the secretary of the king, she began to have, we have together, Dore Dalinik. She began to have seduction and fitna and fasad. Now you might say, brothers and sisters, what is the purpose of Allah mentioning in the whole Quran, in this surah Yusuf al-Islam, about the fitna of women? I know whenever I do this, many of the women, they get upset, oh, Allah is showing a discriminatory picture. The women are seductive or women are dangerous. No, that is not the case. Of course, they are good women. We have, in the same Quran, Allah gave the mithal of Maryam alayhi salam. In the same Quran, Allah gave the mithal of the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, the grandmother of Isa alayhi salam. In the same Quran, Allah gave the example of Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, Pharaon. Okay? In the same example, Allah gave the example of Sarah, of Hajar, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And there's so many good. We should not always, because that's what the feminist movements do. They attack only the dark, bleak side, they pick on that. Oh, your Quran says that women are seductive, women are bad. Where is it? Oh, in the chapter of Joseph, chapter 12, pick it up, verse number 23, it says women are always bad. No. And then they add spice to the cake, such that, oh, your Prophet Muhammad said that in hellfire there will be more women than men. So now they have two things to attack our Islam, our integrity. But we should know how to answer back. This is da'wah. This is the skills of da'wah, how to respond to them. Number one, if they ask about this, you show them the other examples. Like I said, Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Mary, and Pharaoh's wife, and all these wives that are mentioned of the prophets of Ibrahim alayhi salam and others. And then when they attack about our Rasulullah's hadith, that yes, it is true, it's a sahih hadith, he said that the woman will outnumber the men in Jahannam. Not because the Rasulullah is astaghfirullah azim, racist or discriminatory, but because of the fitna. And how do you understand that? If you put that hadith with this ayah of Surah Yusuf, you understand. Women have this, how should I put it, for lack of a better word, this tool. Men don't have this tool. It's hard for a man to seduce someone of the other gender in that easy way. But women have been equipped by Allah SWT. That's why Allah SWT also called the woman in a way fitna. Not fitna in the bad sense, but fitna in the sense of test. Your iman is tested in front of a woman. Your commitment to Allah is tested in front of a woman. Your fear of Allah, taqwa, is tested in front of a woman. Where is that? In this one. Conglomerate with the hadith of Rasulullah. Rasulullah said that seven people will be honored under the shade of the Arsh of Allah's Mat. The Arsh of Allah's Mat will be there in Yawm al-Qiyamah. There will be no shade, no building, no trees, no high rise, nothing. No shade. And the sun is so close, half a mile from earth, scorching heat. People are perspiring, sweating because of the heat. Today the sun is so far away, how hot it is. It was 80 degrees today, we begin to complain. Wait till the summer comes. Imagine a Yawm al-Qiyamah is so hot, there's no shade except one shade, Arsh of Allah. People will be scrambling, rushing, let me get into that shade. I just want a little bit shade, half, because sun has blown up my head. But the angel will be standing over there, guarding not just the throne, but guarding the shade, because the shade will be very far reaching, right? So wherever the shade reaches, at the perimeter of the shade, there will be angels, strong, shiddad, guarding. And saying, do you have the visa to go to Shade? Today you ask, you have visa to come to America? I don't care if I am in America or not. But if I have the visa to be under the shade of Allah's shade, that is enough for me. Why? Because angels will be throwing them back. Just that person in the consulate throws your passport back on your face, get lost, we don't want to get you into America. The angels will be throwing back those so-called passports. You didn't qualify to get in the shade. Seven people, that's a long hadith, we won't cover that now, but I'll take one of those seven. Seven people will be qualified. They'll have the resume, the CV to get into the shade. One of those seven is a person who fears Allah, imra'atun, a woman, imra'atun, zatu nasabin, wa zatu jamal, a woman that is very, very beautiful, attractive, seductive, and a woman. And that same woman is of mansab, status. She's very highly status kind of. Meaning everyone would want to be with that woman. She comes in front of a woman. I mean, she comes in front of a man and she says, I'm here available for you. And we all know what that means. And the person, fear of Allah, taqwa of Allah, says, Hasha lillah. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Wa a'udhu billahi min this woman. Allah says this person automatically is qualified to be in the shade. Because he had the option to fall into the trap of that woman. But he remembered who? Allah. The creator of that seductive woman and the creator of this man who has this taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing this person to be in the shade. Something that is, which is very, very highly qualified and highly desired on the Day of Judgment. But look, people might say, oh, He got the shade so easily. No. Ask any man how difficult it is to remain, you know, steadfast in the fitna of a seductive woman. And that's the same thing Allah SWT is saying here, that even though that this woman was seductive and attracted Yusuf al-Islam, Yusuf al-Islam is still a young boy. He's shared. He's not grown up to be a mature man, 30, 40 year old. He's still young. He's bought by the husband of this woman and he's now in the captivity. So she's really oppressing him. She's really taking undue advantage. She's exploiting of the fact that he is bought by the husband. He has nowhere to run away. He's going to be here. So what's he going to do? And then what does Allah say? Allah gives a very, very detail-oriented graphic image here. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. And then the one who was in the house, she began to attract him and call upon him. And نَفْسِهِ upon him. وَغَلَّقَتَ الْأَوَّابِ غَلَّقْ يُغْلَقْ. She closed the doors. So why? So that he doesn't escape. If the door is open, and if he is going to run away, he'll be saved. So this is pre-planned from the woman. The woman is very treacherous. This is the meaning of Rasulullah that he said that the majority of women will be in hellfire, because the women have such the fitna of women. In fact, there's another hadith of Rasulullah, he said that there's only two fitna I fear on my ummah. Fitna of man, money. If money comes into the Muslim ummah, it may destroy and disrupt them from the akhirah. And the fitna of mar'a. And the fitna of the woman on the men. If the men of the Muslim ummah fall into the trap of woman's treachery, then the ummah is destroyed, devastated. And if you look at it, brothers and sisters, look at the history of Islam from the time of Rasulullah till now, 1427 years. Whenever we had the downfall, whenever we had the dark ages of the Ummah Islam, those who were the enemies who brought our downfall, they used these two things. Women, womanizing the leaders of the Muslim at that time, and money. They would fill them up with money. Even now, as we speak, right now, it's going on in Middle East, in Asia, in those Muslim countries. They have two things on their sides, money and the woman. And then ruling their countries, 57 Muslim countries, name me one leader of that Muslim country, of those 57, who doesn't have a woman on his side, apart from the wife that he has, but they have extra women always to their availability. And the money that is there being funded from the back. You pick up their accountability from before they became the leader of that country, they were zero. Nilch. Now, the moment they became the leader, now all of a sudden they have money. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us the males more than so than the females. Of course, warning the females also. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the woman, protect your zina, protect your attraction. Don't use this zina that Allah has equipped you with for treachery, for seduction, for destroying men, but use hijab, use jilbab, use the hijab and jilbab to protect this zina for only one male on this earth, and that is your husband. Other than the husband, no one has a right. And look how many men take care of this woman before she gets to the husband. The father, if the father passed away, she became yatim. The uncle, the uncles, the brother, elder brothers. So many men have been assigned to take care of this woman and her zina, her pakizgi, her virtue and her modesty until she is married off. And when she is married, who has Allah made in charge? The husband. Allah, in fact, there is one hadith of Rasulullah, he said that at the youth, very, 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 very warning hadith. He said that husband who, jiski gharatni, begharat husband, meaning that husband who doesn't take care of his wife's zina, attraction and beauty and all that, and lets her loose in the sense that she can do whatever she wants and he doesn't even say anything to her. In other words, if she has an extramarital affair, if she has other things, if she's seeing other men, and this man, husband, knows of that, and he doesn't even say one kalima, one word of advice, that man is in straight to Jahannam. And how much of that is happening today in America? Not only just in America, but even in the Muslim countries. I was amazed. If you just pick up any of these soap operas from the Muslim countries, whether it's Arab or Pakistani or Indian or whatever, every Muslim household, the story is, this wife is seeing that husband is seeing that wife. And they know each other. It's as if people are becoming... I was just shocked when I was talking to my mother the other week. She said, "Har dusre ghar ki kahani yehi hai ki ye biwi uske se dekh rahi, wo miyan usse." And now that the women have been allowed to work in the workforce, it has generated more. We see all why this area is so humongous and huge. That Allah is warning us, if you don't take care of this, this fitna will be like a termite. It will chew you up from inside. Naturally, what happens? It affects the children. When the children see that my mother is dating someone else, and this is a Muslim mother, and she has a husband, then the children think this is something that is justified. And when the children see the father is always with other women, and the mother is at home crying and do something, then the children take a big impact. So this is a generation's destruction. Not just that generation, but the future, the children. Because who will they grow up to be? They'll grow up to be either that, or they will be so traumatic that they'll be psychologically disoriented, not knowing. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a heavy warning over here. That وَغَلَّقَتَ الْأَبْوَابِ, meaning women have such treachery and danger. Of course, with all due respect to you, sister, don't take it wrong. That Allah is not saying here that every woman is that. But Allah is talking here about the exception. The norm, of course, the norm of the woman generation is virtue, modesty, chastity, pakizgi. But the exceptions of those women folk that turn out to be the fitna, that brings down the whole generation down in this world, humanity. Of course, Islam's verdict is very clear. Islam does not believe that women are the sinners, as is in the Christianity. In Christianity, they say that, Eve or Hawa was the first sinner. She is the one, unhone uksaya tha Adam. She is the one who instigated Adam alayhi salam to eat from the tree. That is not the philosophy of Islam. Aqidah is very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, they both were 50-50 partner in the mistake, in the problem. There is no concept of original sin, and there is no concept of battering women. You know what they say about freedom of women? You go and ask any priest, any Christian, the whole Christian philosophy is embedded that woman is the sinner. She is the one who is the beginner of sin because she forced Adam to eat. Had she not done that, we none of us will be here on earth. We all will be in paradise because that's where Hawa and Adam were. But Islam has no such belief as that. Islam says that they were both sharing in the blame. They were both sharing. Of course, they did not do a thing. It was a mistake because we know that Anbiya or Ma'asum, innocent, they don't do mistakes. And then what did Allah say? Allah says, look, she instigated Yusuf alayhi salam. She invited him. Dawaddi. Waqalat. Qalat is a female verb. The male verb is qala. Qala, qala. Waqalat. Meaning she is the one to say. If it was qala, you can say, okay, people can say, okay, Yusuf alayhi salam was the initiator. No, astaghfirullah adeem. Because many of the mufassirin, the bad kind of tafsirs out there, they have written negative things over here in the tafsir of these ayats. They said, oh, Yusuf alayhi salam was the initiator. He invited or he gave the ishara or the akmar or all kinds of foolishness has been written in tafsir. And that's why we as Muslims, we have to be very careful before we pick up a book of tafsir to read, be very sure if it's from a sound individual. Because you'll be amazed, and it is true, in many of the Urdu language even written, tafsir written that Yusuf al-Islam se pehle ghalti sar sari, astaghfirullah al-azim. Allah is very clear in the ayah. And how we know that? If we know Arabic grammar, we can easily prove it. Qalat hayta lak. She said, come on, I'm here available for you. Qala ma'a, now the Arab word of the male comes. Qala, now the male is talking, meaning who? Yusuf al-Islam. Qala ma'adha Allah, I seek refuge in Allah. Allah protect me, Allah save me. When she said come and she gave the invitation, he did not say yes or no to the invitation. Big thing. Because some people even wrote here, she invited him and Yusuf al-Islam said no. No, he never said no. He seek refuge in Allah, something bigger than no. Meaning I am far away, far distant from such fitna and treachery and seduction and the fitna of women. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي. Allah is my Rabb, my Lord. أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَاهِ. He's the best example. And he's the best of my protector, preserver. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِهُ الظَّالِمُونَ. What a beautiful thing that Yusuf al-Islam said to her, to the wife of the wazir, minister. He's giving her advice, nasiha. Even in this time of jeopardy that she's inviting and seducting, he's giving her advice, da'wah. That is what the ulama said. Then look at the beauty of the hikmah. Because the previous ayah before this was said that Allah bestowed hikmah to Yusuf al-Islam. Yusuf al-Islam could have easily run away from the fitna and not even think about anything. But even in the time of the fitna, he's giving da'wah. Da'wah to Islam, da'wah to Allah, da'wah of fear of Allah. He's telling that woman that look, innahu Allah la yuflihu al-zalimun. Allah never makes the oppressors successful. Meaning woman, if you're thinking you're going to be successful over me, forget about it. Not even in your wildest dreams, woman, that you're going to be successful over in this trouble. Because you are a zalim, she is the zalima, she is the oppressor. She is the one that is doing all the fitna. And he is the mazloom. He is in this jeopardy. But he's remembering who? Allah. Just like exact ditto the thing that Rasulullah said in that hadith about seven people who will be under the shade of Allah. He said that one person, such that imratu zatu jamal wa zatu nasab, she calls upon him and he says, I remember Allah. Ittaqullah. Fear of Allah is sufficient. And that is the thing. The message here in this ayah and that hadith Rasulullah is, whenever you face any kind of fitna, any kind of sin, sayyah, and ithm and guna, at that time just say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. اتقوا الله or اتق الله. اتق الله, اتق الله, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Remembering Allah, this is a quick vaccination against any kind of sin and mischievous deeds. it suddenly closes the door of shaitan. Because what are you saying? A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. If there is shaitan putting waswasa in the treasury, wo to sar ke bal bhagega. He will start running away. Because you have said, A'udhu billahi shaitan rajim. I seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, the avowed enemy. Innahu la yuflihu al-zalimun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this verse is telling us that Yusuf al-Islam mastered such wisdom that he is giving da'wah even in trouble. Why? Because he does not want to leave any opportunity for da'wah. And that is what Muslims are. Muslims should never leave any opportunity for da'wah. Even if you see somebody doing something wrong, a sin, a mistake, don't be quiet. This is what has become of us today. We as Muslim Ummah have become mute, gonge honge. We see things happening in front of our eyes, but we don't even utter one word. Not only just here in America, but you go to any Muslim country. People doing mistakes, sin on the street in those Muslim countries, but nobody has the courage, the guts to say, brother, sister. Well, first of all, they can't even say brother, sister there. But nobody has the chance to say to them, this is wrong, please don't do it. Fear Allah. Remember your grave. Two things. If you can't fear Allah at that moment, remember your grave. Because in the grave, you're going to be facing the return of this act right away. All those people who are doing the sins, who are doing the mischievous things, if you just tell them, what if you die right this moment in the middle of this sin that you're doing? If death is enough for them as a trigger, as a catalyst, maybe they'll just leave that sin. Because death is such a thing. Because somebody could be drinking and they die in the bar. How will you give them janazah ghusl? In the hala of najas. They're najas. Sharab and everything all that. Somebody doing zina and they die. Imagine, how are you going to give them janazah, ghusl, in the halat of sin? And how will they be resurrected on the day of judgment? Yawm al-Qiyamah, people will be resurrected on the thing and the way that they were last doing. So if somebody died in the bar, they'll be being raised up drinking. Somebody died doing zina, they'll be raised from the cupboard doing zina. How shameful it would be. And then Allah SWT says, وَلَقَدْ حَمَّتْ بِهِ وَحَمَّ بِهَا لَوْ لَا أَنْ رَعَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ سُوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلِصِينَ. Allah tells us that she then inspired him and tried to go forward towards him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَنْ رَعَى. A lot of people have misinterpreted. It's very important to spend a couple of minutes here. A lot of people have misinterpreted this word. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. They said, look, Yusuf al-Islam also had the intention or had the feeling, the desire. No. What is the ayah saying? We have to look at the whole grammatical phrase in context. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَنْ. Meaning he would have thought of her if he did not see the burhan, meaning the fear of Allah, taqwa. Meaning Yusuf al-Islam had the innate, human instinct nature to be attracted towards the women. But he was not, because he saw the burhan of Israel. If this word was not there in the ayah, missing the word, which word? لَوْلَا أَنْ رَعَى بُرْحَانَ رَبِّهِ. If this word was missing, then it will be justified to say that yes, Yusuf al-Islam also hamma biha. But Allah is not saying that. Allah is saying that he would have that if he did not see. But he saw the burhan of Ezra, so he stayed away from the ham of that mara, that woman fitna, he stayed away from it. Many other mufassirin wrote that Yusuf al-Islam was not extinct, or he was not a person who is obsolete, like they say that a man who has no attraction towards women. It's kind of degrading to degrade a human, a man. People accuse that he is not a man, or things like that. So a lot of mufassirin wrote wrong things here, saying that, oh, Yusuf al-Islam would have been accused or chastised by accused and blamed that, oh, he is not a man because he never felt any feeling towards the woman. And for every man who have a feeling for his woman, it's natural instinct. And they wrote this negative thing. That is also wrong. Yusuf al-Islam, we don't need to defend him saying that, oh, he was not a man or things like that. This is all garbage. This is all rubbish that gets inserted into the tafasir. We have to be very careful. There is no such thing as the question of the integrity and the honesty and the honor of Yusuf al-Islam. Yes, he is a man and he is a man. There is no need to defend him in this aspect over there. But what Allah is saying here, that look, when you see the burhan of Allah, when you see the fear of Allah, that is enough to save you from the sin. And that is exactly what Yusuf al-Islam acknowledged, that he was saved from the fitna of this woman. And then Allah says, كَذَلَّكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. Allah is saying, this is why we did it. Why we did it? To save Yusuf al-Islam, نَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ. To save him and change him from the su' and fahsha, the evil and the sinfulness.
What is the message of this era, brothers and sisters? Allah is saying, remember, this era is tied to the previous word. We said that, وَكَذَلِكَ نَزِّلْ مُحْسِنِينَ. Over there, Allah said, this is how we bless the muhsinin. So if you are a muhsin or muhsina, then Allah will also save you from the sin, fitna, sayyah, mushkil, su, fahsh. Meaning Allah will have a special protective wall around you that will make sure you don't fall into a sin. Because Allah gave the accolade, gave the ta'rif of Yusuf al-Islam that he's a muhsin, min al-muhsinin, so Allah is now saying, وَكَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءُ وَالْفَحْشَاءُ. Because he was a muhsin, so Allah saved him from the su', from the evil and sinfulness. In other words, if we are not a muhsin, we risk being endangered into falling into the trap of shaitan and wasaf shaitan. In other words, it's a win-win situation. If we become a muhsin in this dunya, not only we are good doers, but we are also seeking the ammunition from Allah's arsenal to be protected against. It's like immunity defense system. And then Allah says, "Innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin." Why did Allah saying? Why did I save Yusuf al-Islam from this fitna of this woman? Because Yusuf al-Islam is from the sincere, pure people who sincerely believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people who sincerely rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we just finished the next section by like saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what happened. This was the fire, in the heat of the fire, in the heat of the storm, yes, Allah saved Yusuf al-Islam. And he began running towards the door, he tried opening it. Finally, as it says, Allah says, وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ, he began running towards the door. وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرْ, and she began running behind him. She did not just leave there, she didn't just say, inviting him. She was so aggressive. And that is the fitna of the mar'ah. That is why Rasulullah said that yes, the fitna of the mar'ah is danger. Because once she was in the fitna, in the shahwa, in the lahu and love, she began following aggressively, running and grabbed his shirt. قَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرْ وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدْهَا اللَّهِ لَدَى الْبَابِ. Subhanallah. When Allah wants to save His muhsin people, look how hard. She closed the door, right? So Yusuf's son has no way getting out. And he's running towards the door. Now the only option is, either when he reaches the door, she will jump on him, or the door opens. And lo and behold, Allah saves His people just at the right moment. The moment he reached the door opened. Because the Sayyid, meaning the husband of the woman, he opened the door. Now imagine the husband opens the door, imagine you open the door, you see your wife grabbing a young boy. And look at the makr of woman. That's why Rasulullah said another hadith. I mean, today is a very unusual day, all the hadith coming down hard on women. And then the hadith of Rasulullah, he said, the makr of woman is more dangerous fitna than the makr of anything. Makr of what? Meaning the chaplosi, chalaki, the shrewdness and the treachery of women is more dangerous than the treachery and danger of anything in this dunya. Why? Because she can easily justify everything. We see the example. The wife of this Sayyid begins to justify. She was the aggressor. Abu Lahim Sahi Miskin Banna Shuru. Abu, apne aap ko rona gaane hai ki main parshan hai. Ye mujh pe attack kar. That is what she said. And that's what Allah says. وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَ لَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ قَالَتْ. Remember the Arabic word, feminine word. قَالَتْ, meaning she said. And look how she said. Look at the makar of this woman. چَاپْلَوْسِ چَرَاكِ. She is not saying that, oh, save me, مجھے بچاؤ or something. She says, oh, master, meaning oh, my husband. This was the Misr, the Egyptian way in those days that they would call their husband as Sayyid, yes, Sayyid, meaning oh, master. Not the master as the word, as the master and slave kind of thing. But as a respect. She said to him, قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادُ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءٌ. چَالَاكِ مَكَرْ دَكِي چَاپْلَوْسِ. She says to the husband, that, oh my master, oh my beloved husband, what should be the return, recompense, of someone who attacks the integrity of your wife? She's not saying to him, save me. She's saying, he has already attacked me. And I'm brave enough to save myself, but now, you tell me, what should be the return of this person? What should we do to him? What should be the response? Because he attacked your integrity, your house, your ahl, your wife. Of course, no man will ever accept if someone is trying to attack his wife. In fact, when this ayah was revealed, Rasulullah asked Sahaba, what if you see your wife with another man, what would you do? One Sahabi got up and he took his sword, his head. So, the reason Rasulullah asked that, to show that men are very hassas, very sensitive. They will not tolerate an inch. Just sword comes in, khun nazar aate. So I asked un mardon se, jo auraton ke paas jaate, biwi se kya tawqo karte? What do they expect from their wives? To bardash, absorb the man who goes and sees other women? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very just, very equal. When it comes to men's part, all they see is blood, if some ajnabi, stranger man with a wife. But there are also men who are corrupt, who are bad, they go see many other women. And they expect that their wives should not kill them. Their wives should be just bardash, accept. This is your, in counseling, you get to talk with some husband, they say, oh, he was going to see her, she has to accept it. Yeah, he was going to see her, she had to accept it. He was going to see her, you bardash. This is like a corrupted mentality. There's no justice in the brain. Because if there was justice, just ask the person, how would you feel if you saw the same wife who's crying because of your corruption? Ask yourself how you would feel if you saw your same wife with another man. You'll say, I'll kill him. Mazi ki baat hai, you know that I'll kill her, kill him. Usse marenge. Biwi ko phir bhi bachayenge. That means there is some softness in there. Warna kya sakte hai, main usse maar dunga. And then Allah SWT tells us, ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوء إلا أن يسجن أو عذاب أليم. يعني she is not just asking her husband what should be the return for some of that. She is suggesting, يعني سونے کا سوال تھا. Not only the makar, but look at that. She is advising her husband what should be the return of someone who attacks your wife, except that he either should be imprisoned or he should have an عذاب أليم, a very strong chastisement, punishment. अभी तो कुछ फैसला भी नहीं है सजा पहले से वो क्यों चापलूसी चालाकी इससे पहले कि मैं फंसूं पहले बचा लो इस पे जाना सजा सर से बोल बट लुक व्हेन अल्लाह कम्स टू सेविंग समवन हाउ ही सेव्स लुक एट द निजाम ऑफ अल्लाह आई कीप सेइंग दिस इफ वी आर मुहसिन अल्लाह विल सेव अस फ्रॉम एवरी जेपर्डी फ्रॉम एवरी मुश्किल नो मैटर हाउ हार्ड इट इज दिस वाज द बिगेस्ट टेस्ट ऑफ यूसुफ इस्लाम आफ्टर द फर्स्ट टेस्ट ऑफ बीइंग इन द वेल On the bottom, the next biggest test was to be saved with chastity, with modesty, with honor, prestige. Unki izzat ka khatra, unse izzat ke laal lage. Insan ki izzat agar maniya made ho jaye, khatam, insan khatam ho jaye. Izzat banane mein pahar ki tarah lage. It takes a whole big mountain to prepare your izzat in society. But to raise that izzat, to raise that thing, it takes seconds. Just seconds, people see you doing something wrong. And your whole lifelong savings of respect is gone down the drain. Now nobody wants to respect that person because they saw them doing something wrong. And that's the same thing Allah is saying here, that this was the biggest test of Yusuf Islam. Because if he was stamped over here that he is the bad culprit, then all his life in Misr will be wasted. But Allah is saving him. How? Allah says, قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْتُنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي. He begins to say, responding, Oh no, master, she is the one. He's a fight to take. He's giving his excuse, he's giving his defense. He's not leaving it alone. He's not being quiet. Oh, accept it because there's no way I'm going to be saved. No, he is doing his hujjah, his argumentation, debate. قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي. She is the one who attacked me. She is the one who came after me. وَشَهِدَ شَهِدُ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ. When Yusuf al-Islam spoke with the courage and gutsy thing that no, she is the one. One of the person who was behind the wazir, behind the master at that time, he said, a witness, shahid, he said, look, the easiest solution for this thing is what? Let's look at the shirt. Remember I told you before that shirt, throughout the whole story, uses on shirt is very important. At the end of this series of lecture, I'll tell you why. But until then, keep thinking. I want to see how far your brain can think. Shirt is very important. Again, shirt became an issue here. The witness advisor to the wazir says, Oh master, let's look at the shirt of Yusuf al-Islam. If the shirt has the fingerprints of your wife's fingers on the front, then who is the culprit? Of course, it's so logical, common sense. You don't even need to be a PhD. Because if the man is attacking aggression, the woman is saving herself. So it's going to be on the front. If the woman is aggressive, she can't have fingerprints on the front. She has to have it on the back. And remember, the woman here, she didn't have enough time to put her fingerprints on the front to get the alibi. She didn't have any alibi. In fact, Yusuf al-Islam had his protection because she did grab him
from the back. So then the minister, the wazir said, okay, take off your shirt. He took off the shirt, examined the shirt, and yes, the wife was the culprit. But yet, they say, you know, in this world, qanun andar, justice is blind. Because even if you see the witness, poor Yusuf al-Islam still ends up in the jail. He still jailed him. He knows that the wife is the culprit, the aggressor, but he still jailed Yusuf al-Islam. We've run out of time why he jailed him. We'll continue from here next Thursday, inshallah ta'ala.